Litasa ki ki. Jai. Si unchagaon ki.
Jai.
There's one prayer by Rupa Goswami, who is such a intimate and confidential servant and associate of Srimati Lalita Sakhi. Because Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, and Rupa Manjari and Lalita Sakhi, they work hand in hand, heart in heart, together to arrange all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and also to engage all the other female servants in the service of Radha and Krishna. All the Manjaris and all the Sakhis, they're under the guidance and orders of Rupa Manjari, Sri Rupa Manjari and Sri Lalita Sakhi. So this same Rupa Manjari comes into this world with Lord Chaitanya in the form of Sri Rupa Goswami. And he wrote, of course, so many important books for all of us. All of his books are important. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Instruction, Stavamala, and so many others. But in one very beautiful book of poems called Utkalika Valari, he wrote a nice pranam prayer to Lalita Sakhi. So we can repeat this together for the pleasure of Lalita Sakhi. Giri Kunja,
Giri Kunja,
Kutira Nagaro,
Kutira Nagaro,
Lalite Devi,
Lalite Devi,
Sada,
Sada,
Tavashravo,
Tavashravo,
Itite,
Itite,
Kila Nasti,
Kila Nasti,
Dushkaram,
Dushkaram,
Kripayangi,
Kripayangi,
Kurumam,
Kurumam,
Ataswayam,
Ataswayam.
Giri Kunja Kutira Nagaro, Lalite Devi Sada Tavashavo, Itite Kila Nasti Dushkaram, Kripa Yongi Kuruma Mataswayam. That's if you want to hear the whole thing. A very beautiful translation. O Lalita, the divine lovers in the cottages within the groves of the mountains of Braj are under your control. Therefore, there is nothing you cannot do. Please be merciful unto me and personally accept me in your service. So in this prayer, Rupa Goswami, of course, is praying on behalf of us because he's already eternally accepted in the service of Lalita Sakhi. But he's showing us in this prayer, there's an intense mood of utkanta or eagerness to attain the shelter of Lalita Sakhi. And that's why we've come here, to attain her favor and attain her grace, to pray for her mercy, that we can also be accepted in the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. So this is one of the essential elements in our practice of sadhana, is a quality of utsaha, which most everyone is aware of in Nectar of Instruction, utsaha mai. This is an eagerness, utsaha, that in all the practices that we do, in hearing, in chanting, in serving, we should be very eager. Eagerness means that we don't fall asleep. Because we have experience of what eagerness means when we take prasadam. We know what eagerness, that's eagerness. Just observe what happens when you sit down at the Sunday feast and see how eager you are. Certainly, everyone has direct experience of eagerness. That same type of Sunday feast, prasadam, devouring, or rather honoring, that we have, that we experience, that type of eagerness we should have when we chant Hare Krishna. When it comes time for chanting the Maha Mantra or Japa, but I've never, ever seen in any country in the world, in any time, anyone at the Sunday feast doing anything like that. We eat with both hands like the monkeys of Vrindavan. And so this type of enthusiasm, when we chant the Maha Mantra, like I remember there was one advertisement on the back of a Back to Godhead magazine, and it had it on the yard or on the grass, it had the Sunday feast. And there was a little baby sitting there. It was a little baby like this, with a very cute face. I think it was actually Kundalini's son. our god brother. And then the title said, "Oh boy, the Sunday feast." You know, there's a little kid was like this. He's about this big, 2 years old, and said, "Oh boy, the Sunday feast." In other words, he was excited. He was enthusiastic. So when we wake up in the morning, we should say, "Oh boy, chanting Japa." And then when we sit down to read Shastra, or to hear the Bhagavatam, or to read Shastra, we should think, "Oh boy, Bhagavatam! Oh boy, Bhagavatam class!" It's not like, "Oh, Bhagavatam class." And when we read, when we sit down to read, we should think, "Oh, these books again, do I have to read these things?" It should be like, "Oh, this is wonderful, it's going to be a big feast. The Bhagavatam feast, the Gita feast, the Goswami literature is a big, so many preparations. Wow, 18 preparations, 18 chapters. Wow, this is a really big feast. This feast has 18 chapters inside. Ooh, chapter 1, very delicious, very good. Ah, chapter 2, I can't eat more, but let me try. Oh, the enthusiasm, utsaha." So I think everyone understands the idea. In all of our practices of devotion, there should be intense enthusiasm. And Prabhupada once, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, the Prabhupada said, when you're in the kirtan, you should be enthusiastically chanting, enthusiastically dancing. And then one disciple said, "Well, Prabhupada, what if you're bummed out? What if you're, let's say, unhappy or discouraged or in anxiety or any usual states of mind we have, and you don't feel like it, and you're not enthusiastic?" Then Prabhupada said, "Well, if you're not enthusiastic, then pretend to be enthusiastic." So Lalita Sakhi, you see that when she's anywhere around the world, whenever she's standing on the altar, she's always standing next to Krishna. Because she's just like when someone gets arrested. When a criminal gets arrested, the policeman is always holding his arm. "Okay, come on." And he has handcuffs. He doesn't let him go. So like this, Lalita Sakhi, she's standing next to Krishna to make sure he doesn't get out of control. And if he misbehaves himself with Radharani, ta! You know, that's why she's there. And you understand what position she's in. She's on the right-hand side. She's on the right-hand side of Krishna, the superior person, the elder person, the more wise person, a respectable person or entity, like cow, Brahman, Thakur, etc., father, husband, always on the right-hand side. So Lita Sakhi, she's standing on the right-hand side of Krishna to indicate that she, and only she, controls Krishna. There are unlimited pastimes of where Radharani enters into a mood of what we call man, or sulking, or pouting, love sulk, or pouting, showing a contrary or unfavorable mood towards Krishna for any one of various reasons. And sometimes there's even no reason. It's called ahoituki man and hoituki, with a cause and without a cause. Like sometimes someone in the family situation, husband and wife, one person, one party or the other may be unhappy, and someone says, "Why are you unhappy? What did I..." And the husband may be doing everything correctly, or at least he thinks so, and the wife may feel some unhappiness, and then he can't trace out the cause. There's no cause. He said, "Look, I've given you all my money. What more?" And try to make you happy in so many ways, but still, the wife or husband, either one, may be unhappy. And even if someone inquires, "Why are you unhappy?" and the person may say, "I don't know. I don't really know. I'm just unhappy." So in the same way, Radharani, sometimes she shows this unfavorable mood. And when she's in this unfavorable mood, Krishna tries so many ways to break her mood. It's called man bhanga, to break her man, to change her mind, change her attitude. He comes and he makes faces at Radharani, and he touches her in a very tender way, a very loving way. And then he tries to play some funny tunes on his flute, or he says some funny riddle or something, some cute poetry. Whichever way Krishna comes, he approaches Radharani to try to receive her favor and attention again, then Radharani shows opposition. If Krishna comes on this side and says, oh my Priyaji, please, and then she goes like this. And then if Krishna comes on this side, she goes like this. And if Krishna comes, finally, Krishna, he has so much difficulty to appease and satisfy Radharani that then he goes to Lita Sakhi. "Oh, Lita Sakhi, can you do something?" And she said, "No, out from here. You've insulted my Swamini. You came, we waited all night for you, and you come when the sun is just rising now at 7 o'clock. You come wandering into the Nikunj, and you expect Radharani to be so happy and receiving you. And get out from here. You go follow the moon. So our acharyas are explaining that everyone has a guru. Sometimes we think, well, when we finally get out of here, or get liberated, or return to the spiritual world, then we're free, then we're independent, then there's no one above our heads, then we can be the GBC, or whatever. We can be the commissioner, that we can... No, but actually, we see, as we're hearing, that everyone is under someone. As we mentioned, that Krishna's being controlled by Lita Sakhi, and we know that Radharani's 25th quality is that she controls Krishna. But Radharani's, her topmost quality, she's controlling Krishna by her Swadina Bratrika mood, where she shows this mood of controlling Krishna. But yet she's controlled by Lita Sakhi. So the controller of the controller of Krishna is Lalita Sakhi. So although Radharani controls Krishna, who controls Radharani? So that's why the acharyas say that Lita Sakhi is the Shiksha Guru of Srimati Radharani. And she's 27 days older than Srimati Radharani. She's born here, and Radharani is born in Barsana, in some kalpas, and the most recent kalpa, she is born in Ravel, where we went 2 days ago. So in this regard, that this man, this type of unfavorable mood, the acharyas explain what is the purpose of man. And they say that this love sulk helps keep the course of love relishable, fresh, and dynamic. Because everyone knows if something is easy to attain, it's no fun. For example, if you have some fight with somebody, and you go boom, and he falls over, what is this? But if you fight with him for 27 days and 27 nights, like Krishna with Dvivida or all these different demons, then it's some relish, some vira-ras. This vira-ras is heroism. The same thing, if love is always stagnant and always, every step by step is always the same old, it becomes very boring. If the lover is always favorable, she always, like we used to say, I remember one of my guru bhais, he was one of the gurus, and he used to say, listen, I don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of yes men. Anything I say, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. I want some intelligent people to say, hey, wait a minute, guru, this is a stupid idea. Or this isn't such a good idea. Or humbly, may I make a humble suggestion? Since I have a PhD in engineering, and you don't know anything, your idea for the temple may be a little wrong. So this idea of he didn't want everybody, you know, surrounded by yes men. So in the same way, in a relationship, a husband or wife, they don't want it, if, yes, 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 yes. And anger is also good. It makes increases the taste of the relationship. So this is why this feature is there, even in the spiritual world. This love silk, it's called man. But it's only to increase. It's not a question of false ego or lording it over someone, or debilitating someone, or diminishing someone. The whole purpose of Radharani shows man, and everything else she does, is to increase the satisfaction and love, and the taste of love for Krishna. Once when this is a very particular feature of Lalita Sakhi, this is a special role that she plays in controlling this man of Srimati Radharani, so to understand it, or to hear about it, is very conducive. But sometimes when Krishna tries to break Radharani's man, then he says, forget about Lalita Sakhi. So he goes to another Sakhi, Chitra Sakhi. Chitra, she's one of the Asta Sakhis. She's mild. She doesn't have this Bhamya Prakar. There's different moods of temperament among the gopis. So this Bhamya Prakar means left wing and very hard or heavy. But she's actually Mridu. She's very mild, Mridu. So sometimes Krishna goes to Chitra Sakhi and says, listen, can you help me? Can you help me break Radharani's man? And then when Lalita Sakhi finds out about it, she takes Chitra by the ear. She pulls her ear and says, you stupid girl! I see that the king of cheaters has cast a spell over you and sent you here on his behalf. Don't you know that our Radharani stayed up all night at Giri Govardhan in one cave waiting for that rogue to show up? Although you know this very well, still you're trying to flatter Radharani and soften her feelings towards Krishna. Now don't speak on his behalf anymore. I don't want to hear anything about that black person. Get out from here. Ciao. This is Lalita Sakhi. So it's described in one phrase. They say, Lalita, Lalita Bhiti Manini. Manini or Manini. Sometimes I think Prabhupada had one disciple, one of my god sisters, Manini. So Lalita Bhiti. Bhiti means bhayam. Bhayam means that Radharani, that she's afraid. She's very much afraid of Lalita Sakhi. So although Lalita Sakhi induces her to display this contrary mood of man, in Radharani's heart she's thinking the contrary to that contrary mood. She actually wants to, she's submissive. She's Dakshin Prakara. She's submissive to Krishna. She wants to meet Krishna more than anything. But she's actually, it's described as sometimes Radharani is shivering. She's trembling in fear of Lalita Sakhi that, I'm afraid to say it, but I really want to. I want to meet with Krishna. I've given up my unfavorable mood. I want to meet with him. But if Lalita Sakhi, if I show this mood, she'll give me a crack. So she's very much, she's trembling in fear. And other times, that's just the man. But when Radharani, when Krishna plays his Murli in Vamshivat or any place, and calls Radharani and the gopis for rasa dance, then Radharani has one earring on one ear. Or maybe she's just putting on her necklace and she's just not quite finished and she starts running out the door. Sham, sham, sham. And she's running to the flute sound, just like being called so powerfully. And Lalita Sakhi says, hey, wait a minute, stop, where are you going? Where are you running so fast? Don't you hear that? And then she's right around, he says, don't you hear that flute? It's Krishna, it's Shami, he's calling me. Only my name is coming in that flute. I must go, I have to go. Get out of the way. No, stop. Sit down. Dress properly. Put earrings on both sides. Put lipstick on the top lip and the bottom lip. Put cudgel on both eyes, not just one eye. So in this, and then Radharani says, okay, yeah. And Radharani sits very tightly out of fear of Lalita Sakhi. Of course, there's a reason why Radharani is half dressed like that also. Are you from China? Taiwan. Acha. Hare Krishna. They look like fresh flowers. Very pretty. All that Prabhupada once said, when Prabhupada went to New York, he said, I've come to your country to collect all the flowers. I've come to your country to collect all the flowers, all the young men and all the young ladies. They're all flowering. They're flowering. They're beautiful. In other words, in modern vernacular, you could say, Prabhupada came to America and ultimately around the world to collect all the beautiful people. The people that have beautiful hearts and beautiful minds, they want to love Krishna. So when we look out and see all the young men, old men, young ladies, old ladies, we see all very beautiful people from, and I was thinking, oh, there's some beautiful people from China, some flowers. Prabhupada has picked these flowers. And then one lady's translating for the other ones. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He's engaged, he's assisting Radharani in her flower-picking pastimes. So the question was asked, that oftentimes the gopis are in such a hurry to run out to meet Krishna in the evening time that they don't dress properly. I think even in Bhagavatam this is mentioned. They put the upper part of their dress on the lower part and they put their waist belts around their neck and everything is topsy-turvy, upside down. So the question we're going to ask is why do they dress halfway like this and run out of their house half-dressed?
You know that relatives will not understand where they are going.
They dress halfway. That will make the relatives more. The relatives are all sleeping. Besides the point, but.
In order for Krishna to give more attention to them.
That's getting close.
Maybe because for gopis it doesn't matter how they dress up. Because they want to go to Krishna, because they love him so much.
They can't wait.
They can't wait.
How do you feel? Do you feel the same way? But make sure you get dressed. See, Adhiraj, he lives in Vrindavan temple with Indra. So the answer is, I mean, all these answers are also correct. It's because they can't wait, they're in a hurry, that's also there. There's many answers in Krishna consciousness, as you must have learned by now. There's never one answer. There's always many, many answers and many, many explanations about everything. Origin of the jiva, the sarup, this, that, the other thing. Every acharya, every sampradaya, they have different viewpoints. This is the beauty. This plurality, philosophical plurality. But at any rate, it was correctly said that this is one of the answers, which is also correct, that the gopis deliberately half-dress themselves so when they get in front of Krishna, he will be very excited to understand, how much attachment they have for me. So they don't care anything about their bodily decoration, about their ornamentation or anything. They just simply are thinking, they know that I'm not so much interested in their earrings and waist belts. Like, are you interested in the packaging or in the sweets inside the packaging? You're interested in the sweets inside. So, because ultimately the packaging comes off. If you know what I mean. So Krishna, they don't care, because there's nothing a lady cares more about than dressing properly. So the other reason it was mentioned is that the gopis are doing this to give Krishna an opportunity to do what he likes most. Krishna likes more than anything to serve his devotees. So when the gopis come like this with their dress and hair and makeup, etc., in disarray or incomplete, then Krishna, he feels, how merciful they are. How kind Radharani is. She's giving me a chance to serve her lotus feet. Oh, look, she's only painted lac dye on one of her feet. This will be my greatest fortune, to hold Radharani's feet in my lap and finish painting her other foot with red lac dye. With this red dye. So this is Krishna's meditation. He's very excited. Oh, an opportunity to serve. Just see how kind the gopis are. They're giving me an opportunity to finish and complete their dressing. This is their mercy on me. So we can see from the topmost personality, the supreme personality in the spiritual world, Sri Krishna, he is anxious and eager to render service to his devotees. So this is a nice lesson for all of us, to take this example of Krishna being so enthusiastic to serve his devotees. And we should also become very enthusiastic, because as much enthusiasm as we have to serve the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, that's as much enthusiasm as we have to serve Krishna. So maybe we can't touch Krishna so easily, or we can't contact Krishna so easily, or we can't perceive Krishna so easily. But it's easy to contact, perceive, and touch the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So whenever possible, and as many ways possible, we should try to serve the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, the devotees, with great love and affection. Inside the temple, there are very small, beautiful deities of Lalita Vihari. And in one wooden box, there's a shila, there's a stone there. And if the lighting is not so good, but if the sun is coming nicely, you can see in that stone somehow, it's like, I don't know what you call it, but it's just part of the stone itself. You can see Lalita, Krishna, and Radharani. You see Lalita, Krishna standing like this, and Radharani's next to him, and Lalita's on the other side. Like in the, and that's this, it's in the forefront of the temple when you open. It's about this high. It's a little hard for 300 people to see, but it's a very, very special Shila. We can say Barsana Shila. There are many Shilas actually like this around Braj. They're very extraordinary. I've seen in Apsara Kund by Punchari in Govardhan, one devotee years ago, he showed me some Govardhan Shilas, and some devotees even have. They have a Govardhan Shila. The Shila is kind of dark in color. The entire stone is blackish brown. And then on one side, there's a even darker stone inside, almost looks like a darker stone. There's a dark figure standing like Krishna, like a human figure. And next to it, there'd be a yellow stone which is part and parcel of the black stone. It wasn't like carved and put in there. It's a yellow stone of Radharani standing like this. So these are called Yugal Shilas, Radha and Krishna, the form of Radha and Krishna manifesting in one Shila or one stone. So this is very, very unique, because when Radha and Krishna were here, the ground, the land, as you see, we see how many trees are transformed by the contacting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We saw yesterday in Terakodamba, a tree was coming out like this, growing up. In Terakodamba, it was, and as soon as it got about a foot high, it went like this and paid dandavats. And the tree was going just like this. And then from there, it started going up. It was a very unbelievable tree. It was going like this. And then, so obviously that tree was offering dandavats to the pastimes of the Lord. Because all his friendly trees are brother trees of the same species that were going like straight. They're just going like this and also bending in their own ways. But this person was, this tree, and this devotee in this tree, he was overwhelmed. He just fell flat as soon as he came out of the ground. I've never seen like that. And then from there going up. So the trees are exhibiting this type of extraordinary reaction to partaking in Krishna's pastimes. And even the ground, the water, as we hear in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna plays his flute, then the Yamuna goes backwards. It's going like this, and it goes backwards. And then the trees, they start trembling, and then the honey starts pouring down the branches. So in the same way, the rocks, as we'll see in different places in Braj, the rocks start melting in ecstasy and capture Krishna's footprints, and Radharani's footprints, and the Sakhi's footprints. There's one hill behind here called Sakhi Parvat, where all the gopis and sakhis used to play as children, and there are many little footprints there and melted and embedded in the stone of the sakhis. And sometimes you can find, sometimes you can't. Depends on how much you can. Sometimes you go and you see them, and then 2 years later you go and you can't find them. It's kind of a mystical thing. You lose the adhikari. So this stone, some stones, they're actually exhibiting the conjugal relationship of Radha and Krishna, the divine union of Radha and Krishna. And this one is showing Radha and Krishna and Lalita, because this is Lalita Sakhi's appearance place. So even the stones are exhibiting their absorption in Radha and Krishna's divine pastimes by showing Radha and Krishna inside the stone. It's an amazing thing. Lalita Sakhi ki jai, Unchakam gram ki jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.